critical thoughts. Negative critical thoughts that we have, zillions of them every day, right? And the flesh is full of it. And because of these things, we are under judgment. And that is what I'm going to concentrate on tonight, because God is interested in cleaning us up and that we walk free. And I know one person who believes that all of our torments are due to our judgments, that we have brought our pain upon ourselves by our negative thinking and speaking. And I wouldn't go so far as to say all of them, but I bet you're going to be surprised when you begin to repent and clean up those negative thoughts. Much of the division in the church, guess what? It's our fault. And when we stand before the Lord and He shows us, it's going to be very embarrassing. So I think it's better now to clean it up at this time while we're still here, so that we can stand before the Lord unashamed. Here we might be complaining, oh, there's so much division and backbiting, gossiping in our church. And guess what? God is showing you your own heart first. That's what you have to concentrate first. I think others of us are going to get before the judgment seat and see that people that we loved didn't come to Christ because of our judgments. Because somehow when we judge and condemn them, the enemy is able to attack them also and to keep them in confusion and blindness. You'll notice the difference when you start removing these off people's backs. Expectations, negative thoughts, and judgments. So let's look at our own hearts first and confess. That's the principle. And when we confess to the Lord, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is part of a series on doorways to the devil that we have opened in our lives, and therefore the devil can come right into us and torment us, either physically, mentally, spiritually, or emotionally. And it's time to... Jesus died that we wouldn't have any yoke of bondage, but we're carrying, like Marley's ghost in Great Expectations, chains clattering behind us, you know, and here we come. And God wants to cut all these chains off us. So tonight we're going to look at the aspect of judgments. And in a way, it is part of forgiveness. The categories are just conveniences, really. Some of us say, well, I know as a Christian I'm supposed to forgive, and I have, but you know, it still comes back, and it just keeps on, and that bitterness just wells right up. Part of the reason is that we haven't broken the judgments against these people. We're going to look at that in the Word of God tonight. But also I want to point out this one sheet right now, which has the lines on it. It's simply a tool for you or to help others, that we list the negative judgments of our parents. This is not psychology in the sense of the world, but in order that we might confess and admit what's really in our heart and has been in our heart for years, and you'd be amazed how it is pulling you down. So you go with the Holy Spirit and God into prayer, and you put down the negatives against your father and the negatives against your mother. And then it tells you you break each one of these and confess them and forgive them. And you will be amazed when you see the list that emerges, that many of the things that you are judging them to be negative about them, you have. You said you'd never be like your father, but guess what? You're doing everything that you said you'd never do. Part of that is the judgment. Judge not, lest you be judged, for it returns upon you. Sometimes the very same thing that you judge them for is going to come upon your life. Sometimes it's something like that picture of arthritis. Torment somewhere in your body or in your life or in your marriage or in your relationships. And so also connected with these judgments is our vows and emotional trauma and other things. But tonight we're just concentrating on the judgment part. This list, this simple tool. It's very, very convenient for you and for others. And you can duplicate them and hand them out and share and help and pray for other people. And also, what happens, how we judge our parents affects our judgment of God. And we don't even realize it. Very often, this is a cause of why we can't get close to the Lord, can't trust the Lord, think he's not there, think he's far away, because your father abandoned you, or didn't listen to you, or didn't care about you. And because of the judgment, it returns on you, and it colors your idea of our Lord in heaven, who's perfect, and you wonder what went wrong, and I can't seem to worship. I've got a wall there. When I get in a trial, I'm just a mess because I can't trust God, and I don't think he'll be there. He loves everyone but me, and this sort of thing. Because of the judgments of your earthly parents or authority figures, you transfer that to God. All that's kind of on the sheet and helps you clean up your heart by confessing what's in there instead of covering it over with nice Christian language and say you're fine because you're saved and those things are not in your heart. So, be honest with the Lord, be honest with yourself. Our hearts are desperately deceiving, and so you have to give the Holy Spirit permission, just as King David did. Search my heart, Lord, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And when you give him that a permission, which of course he could take, but he waits for us, then he gently, purely, and peaceably shows us. And don't be afraid of the pain, because it's just for healing. It's not good to keep it inside. It is doing damage, not just to you, but to many. Roots of bitterness defile you and others about you, and that's only one thing that can happen as a result of judgments. So we're going to kind of go through the Word of God, and there are many more verses than I picked, to see what the Lord truly says about judgments. Starting at Psalm 107, verse 10. This is actually the principle of all deliverance and of getting free, including breaking our judgments. Verse 10, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. This is the case with us when we're under any bondage. Because they rebelled against the word of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their bands in sunder. I love that King James word, in sunder. And so that is what happens when we confess to the Lord and cry to him. He breaks our bands. And so this is the attitude we're going to enter this study in. We're going to give him permission to show us that in our heart there are judgments, and there are bitter words, and there are bitter thoughts in us. And we're going to cry to the Lord in our spirits and be set free. And we're going to give him permission to keep on showing us so that he is not taking this lightly. We stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We are commanded to love the Lord our God and love one another. And in this is all the law. Therefore, when we can be doing outward things perfectly well, we can be following Christ, serving Christ, ministering, and in our heart, our judgments, in our minds, our bitter words. Therefore, our works don't count, because he looks at the attitude. Is it done for love, out of love, for love of them, for love of God? Or was it love of self? Or was it just, trying to work it out in your own flesh? So he's putting a harsher spotlight on us. He's preparing us. He's changing us, preparing us to be his bride, changing us into the image of Jesus Christ from glory to glory. And we must allow this change. And so, Lord, help us to break down any stubbornness, any preconceived ideas. And we cry unto you that our bands might be broken in sunder. And now we'll look at Psalm 109, verse 17. There are a lot of verses about sowing and reaping, right? The principles of this, but we're concentrating, focusing in particularly on the area of judgments and negative thoughts and words tonight. Okay. And so 109:17, as he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with a garment, so let it come into his bowels, like water, like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as a garment which covers him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Boy, that does not sound good. God is saying, as you curse, it comes back on you, and you will not be blessed. And it also says it will come on you like a garment, and it says that it will come into your bowels. So many bowel problems, and many stomach problems, and many colon problems, and many physical problems inside the bones could be from judgments, from cursing your brother, or living with cursing, which is negative. Negative is not a biblical word, but it's the opposite of everything godly. And so when we condemn, when we demean others in our thoughts or in our words, then this is a type of cursing. We're actually cursing others, and we're cursing ourselves. And it says it can come into our bowels and into our bones. It can cover us like a garment, and our life will not be blessed. I'm trying to show you the repercussions. This is judgments for judging, if you will, that God, because you've broken a spiritual law, turns the demons on you in order that you'll repent because you're his child. And if we are walking with the Lord, we don't like that torment, and we get more and more sensitive, quicker and quicker, that we see we've done something wrong. And I'm trying to point up the principles which Satan must operate under. And there's a law about blessing and cursing, many laws actually. When we begin to curse, then Satan can return it on our own head. And in verse 29 of that same psalm, let my adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. I just went, the whole psalm is good, but just pointing out how you can read the Bible to pick out the spiritual principles. And it also says that we can be clothed with shame and confusion. And some of us suffer from those things as believers. And perhaps the source of that is that we don't bless others and that we curse them. So look at the Bible this way as a tool for repenting and for cleaning up your sins, the places where you've broken the spiritual laws. Now we'll go into Matthew 7, and since we're taping, what you have to do is save questions till the end so you can jot them down as I teach and you have a question, and we'll handle them at the end. Matthew 7, verse 1, is the one you always hear, even from unbelievers. Everybody knows this verse. Judge not, that you be not judged. And especially if you go to correct somebody, whether they're saved or unsaved, they know that one. And so we got to see, well, what does that really mean? So now let's look at it. 1-5. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? You hypocrite, first cast the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see more clearly to cast the mote out of your brother's eye. there, I guess I should tell our moat story just for a moment. I'll digress. We got this message 1 month, three times. You know, every week we'd go to a different sermon, and it was this sermon, you know. We were younger Christians. And we went down to Palm Springs and happened in on a Spanish church. And guess what? Fourth time, the message. Matthew 7, 1 through 5, you know, the mote and the beam. And we're just sitting there, and as it is, we're kind of stand out because they're, you know, dark-skinned, and we're in the middle of the room, and we're happy to be there, but we definitely, people notice that we're there. And so then he calls for prayer at the end of the message, and we bow our heads and seeking the Lord, and he calls them forth to the altar, and we look up. We're the only people not at the altar. The whole church is up there repenting. Totally embarrassing, especially after the fourth time. So, but God is patient with us, isn't he? So what does this mean? Judge not, lest you be judged. There are different words for judging, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But here it means do not condemn. I'm going to discuss in a little bit the difference between judgmentalism and judging. And we're talking about judgmentalism, where we condemn and we criticize and we categorize and we put people down and up and we decide their fate. And we're actually acting like gods, little gods. We're not to condemn. And that will return on you in the measure that you measure it out. And that's what we're teaching on tonight. How our judgments can return upon our own head. God calls us a hypocrite then. Romans 2:1. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are that judges. For wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you that judge do the same things. You know, how often do we read this and think, oh, Jesus is talking to those, you know, those Pharisees or something. Certainly not us. And again, the idea of being a hypocrite. We are not to condemn, for we condemn ourselves. Okay? That's what we're talking about. That many of us are living under the judgments that we have made of others. Are the repercussions of those judgments. Go to Romans 14, 10 to 13. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing unclean of itself but to him that esteems anything to, and so on. Let us not judge one another any more, meaning let us not condemn one another any more. But let us judge this matter. Let us discern. We'll talk about that difference. We all stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and I believe that the verse here and other places imply that we stand judged for our attitudes toward our brother. And if it wasn't love, wood, hay, and stubble, it burns. I don't care what works it was. And some of us are going to be rather surprised. Because we didn't do it for the love of God and the love of our brother. We would rather be right and stumble our brother. And stumble, there's a lot of verses about that. Putting an occasion to stumble in your brother's way. And if something is holy or unclean to him, but you have more liberty than him, and you go to him and you say, you know, why don't you cut your hair? Why don't you drink wine? Why don't you worship on Sunday? Why don't you any number of things? where he and the Lord have an agreement about what's holy, and you stumble him. You're accountable for these things. You've judged him, and you've judged yourself to be a better Christian or a more holy Christian. And this is not what the Word is telling us at all. So we have to let the Lord examine our hearts continually, because we carry this flesh with us until we get a new body. And it's allowed because we're in training, and we must make choices. God gave us a free will, and we want to choose to obey him. So now God's showing us that we give account of ourselves. Don't judge your brother. And he goes on a lot about this. 1 Corinthians 11 is extremely sobering. And this is the chapter where Paul writes to the Corinthian church about the abuses of the Lord's Supper. And they would come together every day at that time in the early church, and they took the Lord's Supper. And some of them were coming with lots of food and eating, as they were rich, and they didn't look and take care of the poor and the hungry, and they didn't notice. And then they would come together and take communion, as if they were honoring God. So he talks about it in 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night he was in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, for this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whomsoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, wait for one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come together, not together unto condemnation. The rest I will set in order when I come. Well, what is he saying? I know I've heard sermons where people run off with this. I'm never going to take communion. I'm unworthy. That isn't what the Lord is saying. We are worthy in Christ. But what he's saying is when we come together for communion, we are actually symbolizing that we are loving one another. We're one body. And we're loving the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we're one with him. And it's a oneness. That bread is symbolic of the body of Christ and of the body of Christ. Okay? Now, if you come together and you don't discern the Lord's body, that means you're critical, you're judging, you're gossiping, you're angry, you have a grudge against someone, you know someone has a grudge against you, you haven't reconciled, you're bitter, and in your heart are these types of things, then you're not discerning the Lord's body. You're not seeing the beauty of each part, each member. And that you're coming together and saying you do with the communion symbols, but in your heart and mind, you're not there. And then it says, so then the Lord says, let a man examine himself. So before you come to the communion table, and every day, as we're saying today, you examine your heart to see if you're doing that. And you correct it. You confess it. You ask the Lord's forgiveness. And maybe he'll have you go to a brother and right there or later on or write him or call him or see him or something to make that right. See? And it says, for this cause, in verse 30, many of you are weak and sickly and even die. This is what we're talking about. The judgment's returning on us. And God says a believer can even die early. And many of us are sick because of this. And weak. Or weak. And he says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That's what we're talking about, judging and getting judgment back. The wrong kind. But he says, let's look at our hearts so that we're not judged. And God will chasten us, but we won't be put in the judgment that comes to the wicked. Okay? It's just a smart way to live before God. That's what deliverance is about. It's confession and humility before God. And then, as he shows you, bringing this. So that's very powerful. Well, you know, as soon as you teach this, someone says, well, am I not supposed to judge anything? So in English, you know, we only have one word, judging. But in Greek, there are several. And that's what you get by word study. And I certainly did not do a deep one for you, but I gave you a sheet that you can work on sometime with the Lord. And different verses to look up to decide and check with Strong's to see which Greek word's being used there. But if you look at the one that has krino, anakrino, and diakrino at the top, those aren't all of the words for judging. But I want you to see the difference, the basic two that we're talking about tonight. Krino means to pronounce judgment, to give sentence, to assume the office of a judge, to condemn, a decision passed on the faults of others. That's the no-no. When it says judge not, that's what it means. Don't krino. Don't condemn. Okay. But then anakrino and diakrino, they're variations of examining, investigating, discerning what is of the Holy Spirit. Judging things according to the Word of God. This we should do. Okay? Christians are a mess. They're condemning but not judge. They're not discerning. They've got it all backwards. And then when God wants us to go and correct someone in a fault, we don't do that. But we gossip and we tell somebody else and we get angry all at home and they don't even know it. So, we are not to judge, condemn, criticize. We're going to look at others. But we do anakrino or diakrino, we do discern. We're supposed to judge ourselves. We just, didn't it just say, examine yourself? And look at, even in that Corinthians thing, how many judge words there are. So we've got to pick those out. What's he talking about? Don't judge others, but examine your heart. And if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. You see the different uses there. And we're supposed to judge fruit, aren't we? The Lord tells, he got very mad at the same church of Corinth. He said, because you're taking one another to court and suing, and you can't even judge among yourselves the smallest matters. And guess what? We're going to be judges. It's hard to believe, I know. But we're going to be judges and rulers. Hey, we're even going to judge the angels. And this is training down here. And so we're a lot of judging we're supposed to do. We're supposed to judge right and wrong. We're supposed to discern things according to the Word of God. We're supposed to call things that are sin, sin. We're supposed to even abound in discernment, it says in Philippians 9. And so that we're to do, but we're not to condemn. And so to me, it's the difference between judging, which is a yes, and judgmentalism, which is the no. Okay. I think we ought to look just for a moment because people get confused at Galatians 6. That's one place where we're given very specific instruction about how to go to someone to correct them. And so if I'm telling you don't judge, and I want to tell you, you know, we don't be judgmental, but we judge. And when we do judge and discern, and God puts us, sends us to a brother, how are we to go? We saw some of the ways we weren't supposed to go. So if we look at Galatians 6:1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, now, they're in sin or transgression or iniquity or something. Now, do we jump and go to everyone who's in a sin and we're Mr. Righteous or Mrs. Righteous? No. It has to be a burden from the Lord. And I don't know how you know you have a burden from the Lord, but for me, it's that I can't shake it. I go to bed with it. I wake up with it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to go to that person or write them or call them, but I can't get rid of it.